couple of y'all. Y'all come on, stand up as we get ready to worship this morning. I'm so excited to see everybody this morning. Oh, it's a good day to praise the Lord.
Turn great.
Hey, listen, they had us move up a couple of steps because apparently we were in the shadows. Man, I'm going to tell you, it's hot. I know it's a little humid today, but Lord have mercy, it's hot up here. I told Kimmy she was going to have to dust off a couple slides for this morning. I felt like going back. This song is called No Longer Slaves, and it's just about being a child of God, about being His. Not having to fear the world around you, not having to fear everything against you, because you are His. You are His child. You are His family. He goes before you. He is for you.
Child of God. Father, your word tells us in Romans 6, we know that our old selves were crucified along with our Lord Jesus Christ so that sin would no longer have power over us. Apostle Paul writes the great truth that we are no longer slaves to sin. And God, we sing today not only that you gave us that freedom, you freed us from sin, but then you went a step further and adopted us into your family, Lord. We love you and we praise you so much for that, God. Amen. As we continue our worship today, we're going to take this time to worship the Lord through our tithes and our offerings. If you're visiting with us today, we don't want you to feel any obligation to give. This is something that we do as we continue our worship and the lifting up of God and his kingdom and his glory. So our ushers will be moving back and we'll continue to worship today. God bless you guys.
Father, we take a moment this morning and we consider what your forgiveness for us means. Father, we open wide our hearts and our minds. If there's any offensive way in us, forgive us and lead us in a way that's everlasting. Forgive us of our trespasses. Forgive us of our sins as we forgive those who've done things that have made us feel wronged. Father, as we worship you, we want our hearts to be wide open to you. We don't want anything to block our connection with you. And we know that you made a way through your Son, Jesus, that we could have constant connection every day, anywhere, any place. That we can know you, God. That we can have personal relationship with you, God, because of your Son, Jesus, and what he accomplished through the work of the cross. So in this moment of worship together corporately, Father, we recognize that we are sinners and we need your grace and we need your mercy. And we need to trust you, God. Help us to trust you that you will transform us and change us and make us more like you as we have faith in you, God. Those things that we are in angst about, that we get all tied up about, Father. We can trust you. That's where our faith can walk this morning, that we can take steps of faith knowing that no matter how we feel about the situation, we feel like it's hopeless or we feel like it'll never change. God, you will change it. You'll transform us. You'll shape us. Forgive us, Father, and help us to lean and trust on you in Jesus' name. We worship you. Oh, what a Savior. Let's sing that one more time, church. Oh, what a Savior.
Oh, what a Savior.
Yes, you are.
Isn't he wonderful? Sing hallelujah.
Jesus.
Christ is risen.
Come on, lift your voices. Step out in faith. Make it your prayer this morning. Yes, Lord. You are risen. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, we have something to have hope for. We have something to be excited about. We have something to have joy for. You are a risen God. Amen? He's a risen God. He's a risen God. And because of that, he has life for you. I don't know, but if you're like me, there's areas of your life where you feel dead. There's things in your life that come up on a regular basis. Family, work, personal things. It just, you feel dead in certain areas at any given moment in your life. And Jesus brings life. We got to step out in faith, though. Jesus, I trust you that you're going to bring life in those situations and in those dead places in my life. Amen? All right. Why don't you turn to somebody and say, Jesus is life. Say hello and greet people around you. Meet somebody. If you don't know somebody close by, be friendly this morning. Our middle name is Fellowship, so. Great to have you here this morning. If you're a guest with us, thank you for coming. Thank you for experiencing this with us and worshiping the Lord with us. If you have questions as a guest, there is a new here table. As you're walking in the lobby, if you walk towards the exit doors, on your right-hand side, there's a new here table. And we have a gift there for you if you're a guest. We'd love to chat with you, meet you, say hello, fill out an information card if you want to, and we'll send you a note of thanks and some more information about the church. But thank you for being here. We love that you're here. And if you're not sure what to do or what's going on, just you know, follow your friend, whoever brought you, or or come talk to us at the new here table. We'd love to meet and greet you. There are a few announcements. On the announcement video coming up, and then Pastor Corey will come up and give the word this morning.
What's up, CFers? Welcome to church. I'm so glad you came today. I have just three announcements for you. First up, CF Women. We are having an event on April 25th right here at the church in the evening. Bloom wherever you are planted. Delana is going to be talking and it is going to be amazing. You do not want to miss it. So please go get signed up. You can sign up on the app, on our website, or you can go out to the lobby today and get any more information that you need. Second of all, CF Men, you guys are having an event on that Saturday, April 27th. It is going to be in the morning. There's going to be a breakfast, and then there's a work day planned. Dr. White wanted me to tell you, we are 10 to 12 men shy of the men needed to do the work they've already committed to. So men, please go get signed up for that so we can get everything done that needs to be done. You can go up to the lobby and see Robert Steelman today if you have any other questions and to get signed up. So please get signed up today. And lastly, guys, VBX. We are coming in quick to VBX and we need volunteers. So whether you volunteered in the past or you've never volunteered, can you please get signed up today? Even if you volunteer and you volunteer every year and you think, I know Claudia knows I'm going to do that, please go fill out the form. That way we know what t-shirt size you need. Maybe you want to do something different this year. So go get signed up in the app, on our website. There's little drop cards with a QR code you can scan. It's on our link tree. So it's everywhere. So go get signed up. I think that's all my announcements, guys. Pastor Corey's coming up. Bye.
I did that wrong. It's not muted like I normally do. Nope, it's on. Hi. Thank you. Oh, wow. Man, first off, look, thank you, guys. Y'all step up to the plate and get involved with what goes on here, how we utilize this space, how we're able to be connected to the community. And I just want to give a big kudos, big thank you, because y'all always step up and volunteer. And that's not the case with a lot of churches. So thank you. You guys are awesome. We're a little quiet today. We're in week three of our new series, Revealed. And I encourage you, if you've missed Easter or last week, I encourage you go back and watch them. Honestly, from the beginning of the year through this series, we started off with Determine, and now we've come into this Revealed series. And the whole premise behind all of it is this idea that you and I are the church. You and I are the church. This is a great facility, and we are blessed to have it. But the moment that we start turning inward, we lose all outward ability to change what's going on around us. Let's do this. Let me have you guys stand. We're going to honor the reading of God's word this morning. We're going to be in Acts chapter 4. And Acts chapter 4, I'm going to begin in verse 24. When they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. Sovereign Lord, they said, you made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth rise up and the rulers band together against the Lord and against his anointed one. Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in this city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. They did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. All the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of their possessions was their own, but they shared everything they had. Will you bow your heads with me? Heavenly Father, I thank you. I thank you, Lord God, that regardless of the circumstances that we each may find ourselves in, I thank you, Lord God, that we can stand on the knowledge, on the fact, Lord Jesus, that you are still in control. No matter how things tend to spiral, Lord God, we can continue to look to you. Lord, we thank you for all that you're doing, and I pray today, Lord Father, that you would enable me to speak your word with great boldness. Lord, that you would stretch out your hand and that you would heal. That you would perform signs and wonders through the name of your Son, Jesus. In your mighty name we pray. Amen. 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 Turn to your neighbor and don't say anything. Just stare at him. I'm kidding. Oh, if you're a guest here today and somebody just looked at you and stared, like, I'm sorry. Not everybody in here is a Christian. That person may not have Jesus. Oh, come on. Hey, this is going to be good. Look, I'll be honest up front, and this is just taking more time, which is what I'm talking about, but I approached this morning talking to Will, and I was like, Will, listen, man, my sermon's long this morning. Like, we might need to not repeat a couple verses during worship. And look, through song one, like, as I'm walking forward, I just felt God say, man, shut up and sit down. So if you're here today and I go long and whoever brought you told you, hey, come because Corey's usually short. Well, they lied to you. Now this my nursery workers might be a little offended today, but I'm gonna hand them a copy of today's service is what I'm gonna do. I think this is that important. I think this is vitally important. How do we know the whole story of Jesus? The whole story. How do we know the revealed resurrecting truth of Jesus Christ? Because history accounts for a man named Jesus. He was a great teacher. History will show that there was a man named Jesus and he did great things. But for the world, especially for Rome and for the Jews, the resurrection part was a stain on their story. In fact, they did all they could just to erase it. So how do we know the story of Jesus? Very simply put, it's because of the eyewitness accounts of that first century church. In what we call the book of Acts, in Acts, it's the Acts of the Apostles. It's Luke's study on and looking into all of the eyewitness accounts of Christ, of the resurrection, of what happened, and then what that meant for the church, for the people, for the body. He writes all throughout Acts. That in the book of Acts, it shows us something that is honestly very different from a lot of what we believe and think today. Together, the whole church, they all began to preach that message. That Jesus Christ was crucified, but then resurrected. All together, they preached that message, and about 3,000 people embraced the revealed truth, the knowledge of Jesus having risen from the dead. 3,000 people, based on the testimony of eyewitnesses. The church was a movement of the people. I said this last week, I'm going to say it again. There wasn't liturgy. There wasn't bands. There were no priests. There were no pastors. It was a group of people excited in their belief and the opportunity that they had to share that something supernatural had happened in their world. Amen. Now, I want to be careful. We, you and I, have a tendency as non-denominational, and I'm going to clarify that because I don't even call us non-denominational. I call it interdenominational. Non-denominational has a tendency to come sounding like we are against denominations. There are so many different denominations represented within this building. And so because of that, we are a conglomerate. We are the body of Christ coming together. Now, that's coming back here, non-denominational. We have a tendency as non-denominational to immediately shout a hallelujah and an amen whenever we hear that we're not about this and we're not about that. And in doing so, we become the very thing that we are saying we're against. Another denomination called non-denominational. Don't do that. All right? We're a body of believers. All right, so teaching the resurrection of Jesus was central to the belief of every Christian in the early church. The church was a movement of the people with that simple mission that everyone would know Jesus is risen from the dead, that everyone would know, and that they would know that the strength and power to share that truth was also theirs if they'd simply believe. And from there, they'd go out into their communities and spread the good news. It was completely an outward-focused movement. It was all about sharing with others. But over time, people realized that they could leverage religion to control the masses. And things went south. Before long, this outwardly focused movement that was about passion and love, this desire to let others know, we want you to know that Jesus is the Son of God, that he's risen from the dead, and he's alive and well and wants to live within you. That message, outward focused movement, began to slowly turn inward. Now, this is what I'm getting at. The natural gravitational pull of any local church can very quickly and easily shift from outward focused to inward focused. Because you and I naturally look out for ourselves. I didn't say that's right. It's just natural. We have a tendency to look out for ourselves first. And so because of that, because we're made up of people, the natural tendency of any local church today will gravitate towards an inward focus. Some of you have been burned by the church. I've been burned, lied about by church leadership. Not that I'm currently under. In good standing, we're good. But I've been lied about by church leadership, and it hurts. Some of you, I've sat in my office and spoken. You have terrible stories, hurtful stories. Went through a divorce, and in the very moment when you would think the church would hold you and help you, for some of you, you felt like the church almost just stepped away. For others of you, it's seeing what can very easily appear as hypocrisy within the church. And in those moments, you step away. You say, forget it. Why would I want to be a part of that? A lot of us have been through hurts caused by the church. I can still very, very vividly remember I was in high school and I had a buddy of mine that was playing sports, and him and I were playing sports together, and he came to me and he's like, "Corey, all of my sinner friends are nicer than any of the church people I know." When you think about our church story and then you read Acts, we don't look anything like the church of the first century. People from all these different cultures, they loved each other. They took care of each other. The rallying point wasn't how you took communion. It wasn't how you voted. It didn't matter if you were an officially recognized letter-carrying member. It didn't matter if you had a church band or if you didn't have a band at all. The rallying point, very simply, was Jesus is the Son of the living God, and he rose from the dead. Amen. That's it. That was it. And if you believe, you're in. And then listen to this, because here's the beauty of their rallying point. If you believe, you're in. But even if you don't believe, no problem. We want to help you believe. While you're making up your mind about Jesus, about this whole thing, because it can seem absurd. While you're making your mind up about all of this, what can we do for you? We're not your enemy. You are not our enemy. We're just excited about this revealed truth and want you to know it too.
Let's go.
That was the first century church. And as such, they had favor in their communities. Because there was something remarkable and attractive within them. Consequently, the church grew big quickly. Unfortunately, as can very easily happen, all churches very easily can make the transition from being outsider-focused to insider-focused. We get judgmental. We get ugly mean. Some of you are mean ugly, but look, even here, our vision was to build a house where together you and I can grow. And in growing, we can also be comfortable with inviting our unchurched, our unsaved friends into a place that we are comfortable to bring. Because look, I've been to churches where you're sitting there and you know that you're supposed to invite your unsaved friends, but at the same time you're sitting there wondering, I wonder if Sister Susie's going to do the little hoo-ha again today. I'm a little scared. Look, we can all rejoice in God. That's a great thing. And it's being comfortable coming into a place and realizing it's not about the place, it's about you and God. This is the moment where we can grow, where we can build each other up. But that out there is the playing field. This is nothing if we're not out there. We wanted to create a place for all people to come and to see what God is doing, whether or not they even believe in God. That's why we built this space. And yet, even here, we too are not immune from the shift to where it's all about us. In Acts chapter 4, we read the very first prayer that the early church prayed. And I believe that it's critical for the continuance of God's purpose within our community, but as well within our own personal lives. But before we read it again, I want you to quickly consider the prayers that you pray. What are the things that you pray for? Because, look, and I'm speaking for me, but I'm going to step on your toes. We all tend to pray the same thing. The average person pretty much prays for themselves and their family. I mean, all right, they're in the package, God, I'll pray for them too. The average person prays for themselves and their family, and then we might throw in, we saw on Facebook that somebody's sick, or there's a family member that's close that we know, and we know they're hurting, and so we'll throw in a couple of sick people. The center of our prayers is typically us. In fact, just guessing, if God had answered all of the prayers that you consistently prayed last year, for most of you, the only person that would be better is you. And again, I'm including me in that. Now, do hear me. I'm not saying we stop praying those prayers. God hears those prayers. But the problem is that self-centered prayers, when you gather them all together, after a while turn into self-centered churches. And then what used to be an impactful, community-oriented church of the people turns into nothing more than a pretty church building. And then we become churchgoers, doing church things, until we become so self-centered we get on each other's nerves and we leave to find a new building that we call church. So today I want to challenge you to pray a different prayer. Last week I discussed Acts chapters 1 and 2. And in that we see that 3,000 people joined the church in one day, simply due to the witness and testimony of about 120 disciples. The witness and testimony of the disciples sharing with others, all of a sudden, that excitement, that joy of what had been revealed to them was then revealed in others. 3,000 came to Christ. A few days later, in chapter 3, Peter and John are going to the temple. They see a guy who's unable to walk. He has his hand out. He's looking for money. It's what he did to survive. Peter and John see him and they say, "We don't have any money to give you, but we do have something better. By the power of our testimony of Jesus, get up and walk." And look, this guy who had been lame from birth miraculously gets up and walks. He's excited. He wants to know what's going on. He hasn't walked, so he's a little clingy. He hangs on to Peter and John. "I've got legs. I'm following you wherever you go." And they're going to the temple. They walk right into the temple. Well, now everybody knows that guy. That's old Cripple Charlie. Like, we don't even know if that's his name. It's just what we call him because we go to church and we see him when we pass. And they're curious. I mean, they want to know what's going on. And so they're all now gathering around inside the temple, looking at this man who was crippled and is now not. Peter can't help himself. Starts sharing his testimony. The excitement of what was inside being revealed to those around him. Starts sharing his testimony about the resurrection. And by the end of this day, scripture tells us around 5,000 people were now added to the church, to this body of believers that was excited about God and wanted to get out and share with their surrounding. 5,000. But the religious leaders didn't take too kindly to it. They had Peter and John thrown in jail. Remember this. This is only a couple months removed from Jesus being arrested in front of the disciples. They witnessed him being arrested and then crucified. So now Peter and John are arrested. They don't know what's going to happen. You'd think they're worried. The next morning, Peter and John are brought to trial before the leaders of the temple, specifically for speaking about the resurrected Jesus. They're brought to trial specifically for speaking about the resurrected Jesus. And Peter, well, he launches into a sermon about Jesus being the Son of God and rising from the dead. It's the same thing. Like, it's just different wording. The same thing. He says, I want you to know that God has done something miraculous among us. You need to embrace Jesus. That was his sermon. And this annoyed the leaders of the temple. Annoyed them. And it was in their mind to torture Peter and John, except for that little clingy lame guy that decided to come the next day to the trial. And nobody can deny that this is a miracle. Nobody in that room can look around and say, this guy is anything other than a miracle of God. And you can't torture the miracle worker. Like, that's just, it's bad for business. And so the religious rulers, they're like, all right, no more. No more Jesus, no more resurrection. And stop blaming us too. That's bad. Stop it. And Peter, fresh out of jail, says, look, you do what you got to do. We're going to do what we have to do. And we cannot stop talking about what it is that we have seen. Amen. We can't stop talking about the revealed knowledge. It excites us to share with you and to bring you on board into the truth, the revealed knowledge of Christ. Amen. They leave. They go find the other believers and they join together in prayer. Now, again, we're going to pause here for a moment and talk to us. Imagine what it is your prayer would be. Like, Peter and John just escaped with their life. I mean, like, there's cause for concern. They've come back with the message that, hey, by the way, if you talk about Jesus, you are now going to be persecuted. If you mention him, you will now possibly be killed, tortured to the point of right before death. How would you pray? I know my prayer because it's what we pray. Protection. Oh, Lord, they're out to get me. I pray that you would keep that from me. Keep me from that. Lord, that you would guard me, that you would protect me. It's about our safety, our protection. Here's their prayer. when they heard the report that if you share your testimony, you're going to be thrown in jail and tortured, when they heard that, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. Sovereign Lord, you made the heaven, the earth, the sea, and everything in them. God, before we ask for anything, we acknowledge up front who you are. That nothing, Lord God, is out of your control. That even though circumstances and situations may seemingly look like they're spiraling out of control, Father, we trust that you know everything. Amen. Then they quote an Old Testament passage that predicted that Jesus was going to be persecuted. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. And then here's that passage that he quotes. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth rise up and the rulers band together against the Lord and against his anointed one. They're simply saying that which was said is what is happening here. Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in this city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. They only did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. All the evil, all the horror that we have been through, God, we acknowledge that your hand was still in control. Only then do they get to where we usually start, the request, the need. Lord, thank you for the day. Got that out of the way. Now here's what I want. Here's their ask. Now, Lord, consider their threats against us. Consider all of these things that are coming against us and enable us to speak your word with great boldness. Wait, what? I'm gonna have to ask. Like my hand's going up. Like, hey, time out. Hey, wasn't it boldness that got you guys in jail in the first place? I'm not trying to start something here. Just curious. Want to clarify? Enable your servants to speak with great boldness. When was the last time you prayed for boldness? When was the last time that you prayed to boldly be able to speak his word to your friends, to your family? When was the last time that you prayed to be able to boldly represent him at your school or at your work? The message of Jesus, it made it to the 21st century, to today, simply because first century Christians prayed for boldness to share their testimony. Then listen to this. Enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. And stretch out your hand to heal. God, they're coming to kill us. But I pray that you would heal that relationship. God, I pray that you would heal the relationship in such a way that I am able to tell them about who you are and the love that you have for them. Oh, enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness and stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. who's ever prayed anything similar over somebody that like wanted to destroy you? I'm not putting my hand up. I need to. It's with regret that I'm not putting my hand up. This early church, they're asking very simply to go into their community among people who don't believe and to then be able to live their lives in such a way that those people would see something in them and think that must be an act of God. What if you and I prayed, God, stretch out your hand and do something through me among my unbelieving friends? God, stretch out your hand and do something through me into those that have been burned by religion. God, would you stretch out your hand and do something supernatural? Something unusual and not something for my benefit, Lord God, but for the benefit of those who don't believe. What if that was our prayer? This early church is gathering together and they're asking to be able to go into their community to be able to demonstrate the power of God. What would happen if we started praying? God, look, I'm not a bold person, but I pray that you would give me a boldness to see and to take opportunities. Father, I pray right now that you would stretch out your hand, Lord, that you would do something through me that would allow my friends to give you a chance. Can you imagine what would happen if you and I began to pray like that? If we prayed, God, make me bolder. God, give me opportunities. Look, I can promise you, you're going to see things that you haven't seen before. And I can also promise you that God will do things that he wouldn't have otherwise done through you. Amen. I can promise you. I want to show you how this wraps up. Acts chapter 4 and verse 31. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. Then all the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of their possessions were their own, but they shared everything they had. Along with boldness, there was an outbreak of generosity. Not because of a sermon. Not because somebody got up and coerced everybody with, if you give one, God will give you 10. I can do that pretty good. I don't pull it out just because y'all don't want to hear it. There was none of that. Very simply, they each focused outwardly. They each, the church, the movement of the people, focused outwardly. As they each became concerned about their community, they then began to boldly share about the revealed knowledge of the resurrection, and it was then that there was an outbreak of generosity.
Let's go. Glad you're clapping.
Look, I want to real quickly let you guys know I'm going to finish up this revealed series on May 19th. And on May 19th, we're going to receive our heart for his house. It's our heart for his house offering. It's an annual offering. If you're new here, it's an annual offering that we take up at the church to help promote what God is doing through this facility, through us here as a congregation, into our community. When we moved from our old building, I made the statement that I was going to lead us together out of debt. And we talked about how this is a building that you and I can use to spread his name, his word, within our community. I tell you that so that you can prayerfully prepare for what God would lead you to bless with. Now, what I don't want, and I'm clarifying this up front, and I'm letting you know up front, because this is not what it's about. If you start viewing any of these messages, if you start seeing any of these messages as an emotional buildup to get money, then we've missed the point. I need you to become Christ concerned for our community. That's not the pastor's job. That's the church's job. That's you and I. You and I are the church, and this is just a place for us to grow. But you've got to want to grow. Generosity is just the abundance that flows from the joy of sharing the revealed knowledge of Christ. Coming back, here's the thing. Look, you as a church, as a people, you've done a great job inviting people in. They come in and they look at this building and they listen to our music and it's attractive, and that's okay. That is okay. But that's not why we do this. And yet, because we are a church full of people, what starts outward over time starts looking inward. It just does. But listen, all of this is nothing more than material and self-promoting unless you and I are a church that prays big and believes big for our community. It is. All of this is material, nothing, unless we are the church. And we step out there. The way you and I pray is an indication of if we're still pursuing God's plan for our community and for our friends. Or if suddenly all of this is becoming like it can so easily for so many churches, for so many Christians. Just another building to admire. As I close, I'm going to ask you, challenge you to join me in praying. God, give me boldness. God, stretch out your hand. Do something in my life that would cause the people that I live among to see you. God, I want to be the church. Not the church that goes inside its doors and closes them. The church that is you and I that goes into the community and helps. Let's do this. Let's stand. I'm going to have us, just for warm-up, if you can go ahead and throw that prayer up for me. This is the prayer that I'm going to encourage you to, if you've got pen and paper, write it down. If you've got your phone, pull it out, snapshot it. That right there, I want to challenge you to be praying every day. And to clarify, you don't have to. We don't have to. But if you are a follower of Christ, we need to realize that we are Christians today because the first century church prayed for boldness. If it had been left up to me, I worry sometimes if we would have prayed the gospel out of the first century. That has to change. That has to change. Because you and I are responsible. We are responsible in this generation to hand the church of God off to the next generation. To build up, to encourage one another in such a way that we excite those that we live among to see the work that God is doing in our lives. We're responsible for that. It's up to you and me. And our community, they need the good news. So, what we're going to do, we're going to read this together, everybody out loud, and just because I think that y'all may try and mumble through it the first time, I'm going to pray after that, give you a little bit of time to build yourself up in the faith, and then we're going to repeat it together again. All right? You don't have to, but if you want to believe this today, join with me. Lord, enable me to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of Jesus. It said, and use me. I threw you off. Heavenly Father, I come before you and I thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are in control. No matter the situations, the turmoil, the questions, Lord God, no matter what it is today that I may find myself in, I can trust, I can stand on the word that you are in control. Father, today I pray that you would give us a boldness. That you would give your people, Father, a boldness to step out in the strength and the power that they have been equipped with, Lord God, by your Spirit. That they would be excited to share the good news. Not a demanding word, Lord God, not some sort of demeaning if you don't, rather, Lord God, it's a desire that all should know of who you are. And that, Father, even if they don't get it, even if they say they don't want it, Father, they're not our enemy. They're not against us, Lord Jesus, and we still want to be able to bless and to live a life that exemplifies you. Father, I pray that you would use us. That you would enable me, Lord God, to speak your word with boldness. Lord God, that you would stretch out your hand, use me to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your Son, Jesus. Together again we pray. Lord, enable me to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand and use me to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of Jesus. We pray this in the name of his Son. Amen, amen, amen. Guys, y'all be blessed. Have a wonderful week. Be the testimony. God bless you guys.